Mothers Against Drunk Driving has found a new advocate who understands firsthand the pain that drunk drivers can cause. Allison Size was a junior at Illinois State University in 2014 when she was injured in the crash that killed Michael Collins at the hands of a drunk driver. Size is now a program coordinator for Mothers Against Drunk Driving of Illinois. As Illinois launches a new Saturation Saturday campaign aimed at preventing drivers from getting behind the wheel and drunk, Size shares her story with GLT's Eric Stock.
In March of 2014, I was actually a junior here at Illinois State, and my friends and I made the responsible decision to call a designated driver to get home after going out one night. But unfortunately, another woman did not, and my friends and I were hit by a drunk driver traveling over 130 miles per hour, which unfortunately took the life of my friend Michael Collins, who is a senior here at ISU. Since that time, I really wanted to use my voice to make a difference. I didn't want to be just another statistic. So I've been volunteering with Mothers Against Drunk Driving in some capacity since then, and I now serve as their program coordinator for the whole state.
And Michael Collins, a case that has gained national attention because of his focus on helping so many other causes, and the Pay It Forward movement stemmed from that. What did you learn about that experience and going through that, not only the accident, but the response that followed and also the sentence that the drunk driver received?
So definitely there's a lot to learn in that situation. And even when I'm going in and talking to classrooms and students now, they ask me, what can we learn from you? Unfortunately, in our situation, we did everything correct and we were still struck with this tragedy. So the number one thing I tell people is they have to be willing to intervene and either stop a friend or a stranger from getting in the car, who's someone who has been drinking, or to take the keys from a friend who may try to drive after drinking. But I also just learned a lot about the law system and the severity of the crimes and the punishment that comes with it. The drunk driver in our case received 14 years. She did plead guilty. And, you know, that's justice in the case. That's justice in the court's eyes. Unfortunately, nothing's ever going to bring Michael back or anyone who's been impacted by impaired driving. My friends and I still live with the memories and the impact of the crash as well. But it's something, definitely a life-altering experience. And like I said, it really lit a fire in me to want to make a difference. I didn't want Michael or Tawny or Sam or myself just to be another statistic. And I hope to use that experience and my voice to make a difference.
And you sustained minor injuries and was out of the hospital after a day?
Correct. Yep. My injuries were minor, thankfully. I had a concussion, dislocated shoulder, some broken ribs, cuts and bruises. But a lot of the injury comes in the non-physical form. It's the survivor's guilt. It's the wondering why. Especially, like I said, in our case, my friends and I called the designated driver. So one of the hardest things to understand is when we make the responsible decisions, why did this happen to us? And like I said, that's a question I get asked in schools all the time when students say, you did everything right, so what are we supposed to do?
Does it change your perspective when you go out on the road now?
It does. I know distracted driving obviously is becoming a huge issue with people texting and on their phones, but if I see someone swerve or look a little off, automatically I think they're drunk or that there are drunk drivers on the road. Statistics show that there are many, many people who are driving drunk every day, and so it's scary to know that you're sharing the road with people who are impaired, and that can happen to you even if you are doing the right thing on the road.
Matt has reported the statistic of 300,000 drunk driving incidents in the U.S., every day. So odds are there is a drunk driver sharing the road with you at any given time. I guess if you really think about it, it'd probably scare people from even going out on the road at all, knowing that there are impaired drivers out there.
Correct. And with that statistic, about 28 people are killed every day by drunk driving. So no matter where you are, your car is considered a weapon. You know, if you're not using it responsibly, if you're not making sure you're sober, if you're not wearing your seatbelt, the car can be a very deadly weapon and a deadly force. So it's scary to think that even if you do everything right, statistics show that you can still be impacted by other people's decisions out there.
And this is Sound Ideas. I'm Eric Stock, visiting with Allison Size, who's the program coordinator for Mothers Against Driving of Illinois. And that brings us to an event this weekend that Matt is helping to promote, and that is Saturation Saturday, as local, county, and state police are boosting traffic enforcement from the evening hours on Saturday through the morning hours on Sunday. Allison, how will this enforcement effort compare with, say, a typical weekend or, say, Labor Day weekend next week?
Good question. So this actually is a good kickoff for Labor Day weekend. I think sometimes drivers on the road expect it at certain times, especially around holidays. But to put this emphasis on the weekend before and just any weekend really shows the seriousness that law enforcement is taking on this cause. Like I said, drunk driving takes a lot of people's lives. It also injures 290,000 people a year. So to have this joined force between Mothers Against Drunk Driving, Illinois Department of Transportation, and local county and state law enforcement is huge. It really shows the seriousness that we take in this issue and that there's no excuse to be driving impaired.
And Normal Police also planning a regional roll call for participating agencies in central Illinois on Saturday night. What has the response been from police to get behind this effort, knowing that they're likely bringing officers in on overtime to handle this?
The response has been wonderful. We have between 60 and 70 agencies RFP'd right now. And I know there's a couple rolling in actually on my drive here. So I'm sure, you know, we're going to hit the 100 mark or even over 100 within the next couple of days still before Saturday. So the response has been wonderful. Law enforcement obviously wants to get out there. Multiple agencies are adding additional officers. Some are adding, you know, up to 5 officers on that night shift solely to focus on DUI. And again, that shows the seriousness that they are taking with this cause. Normal, for instance, I believe is holding a sobriety checkpoint, which again is another step just to show that there's no excuse and no tolerance, zero tolerance for driving impaired.
Now, efforts like this certainly bring the problem of drunk driving to people's attention. Do you feel the police are able to give drunk driving sufficient attention throughout the year because there's so many other incidents and cases that they get involved with?
I believe so. We have in town here the Michael Collins Foundation, which Michael's parents started in honor of him. And every year we give out law enforcement awards. There was just a Bloomington police officer a couple years ago who had, I believe, over 100 DUIs in a year. So law enforcement officers do take this seriously. They are focusing on it, not just around holidays, not just on certain initiatives, but year long.
Looking at it from the legislative level now, Illinois 20 years ago became the 15th state to lower its legal drinking age from 0.10 to 0.08. They were just the 15th state at the time, and now all 50 states have lowered the bar, so to speak. And they say since then that traffic deaths caused by DUIs have dropped more than 40%. Did you expect it to make that much of a difference? And could there possibly be other factors in why that fatality rate is lowered?
Obviously, any reason that the fatality rate is lowered is wonderful, and we are glad to see that and hear that and hope it continues to drop. But I think regardless of the legal drinking age or regardless of the legal BAC, people are going to drink irresponsibly. If they want to break the law, they're going to do that regardless what the law is. But hopefully we keep taking steps forward and seeing those fatality rates drop.
Are there other ideas, other types of legislation that MAD is behind or could get behind to lower that rate further?
So MAD does do research into, it's called DADS, Driver Alcohol Detection Safety System, I believe is what it stands for. And they also push for interlock system. So for first-time DUI offenders, they should have an interlock system in their car, meaning they would have to blow and make sure they have a low enough BAC to even start their car. So it's little steps like that and moving forward with the technology side of things that are really going to make the difference.
The National Highway Traffic Safety Administration has reported while there are fewer drunk drivers on the road, there are more drivers impaired by drugs in recent years, such as marijuana, even prescription and over-the-counter medications that could impair their driving. How much has MAD looked into this, and what is MAD's response?
So MAD actually has altered their mission in the last couple of years to not only focus on ending drunk driving, but to fight drug driving. It's unfortunate that drivers on the road think that they are less impaired, maybe by marijuana or some type of drug rather than alcohol, but it's all an impairment. It all alters their ability to respond and their ability to see distances and be able to drive responsibly and correctly. So MAD definitely is taking a stance against not only drunk driving, but drug driving.
As we talked about at the beginning, Allison, this is a cause that means a great deal to you on a personal level. How do you feel you're making a difference?
In my perspective, as long as one person can choose not to drink and drive or have the courage and bravery to stop a friend or stop a stranger from getting behind the wheel, then there is success. Thankfully, I have had people come up to me after presentations saying that because of my story, because of Michael or because of other friends who I talk about who have lost their life to impaired driving, that person will make sure they drive responsibly from now on and always have a designated driver. So it's hearing those stories and knowing that at least one person's life can be saved, that's success in my mind.
Size notes that MADS victim service specialists advocated for 302 victims and their families following DUI crashes last year. MADS is on pace to top that mark this year. She spoke with Eric Stock.